How's everybody doing? Chef Albert Hernandez, the Untamed Chef, coming at you live from beautiful Visalia, California, here in the central part of California. We have a really special show today. We got an amazing chef who's going to be joining us here pretty soon. But real quick, I just want to talk a little bit about the drought that we're having here in the valley. This is pretty serious. We need to pray for more rain. We need to do penance for more rain. Whatever it takes to get more rain, we need it because our farmers most definitely need it. And we need to do everything to try to support our farmers. Go to farmers markets. Try to buy more local. And I am definitely not trying to put a damper on big restaurant chains and everything, but we got to remember to support our local people, our local chefs. True talent sometimes lies in the smallest places, and we have to be willing to seek that out. Well, our guest that we have on today, he most definitely is a small talent. He is one of the very few elite that you can call a James Beard Award-winning chef. He is a wonderful friend of mine. We Facebook off and on. He's an amazing guy. He never forgets to say happy birthday and leaves a beautiful picture of one of his amazing dessert creations. Chef Christopher, how are you doing today, sir?
Doing well. Thank you, and thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. It is truly an honor. It's not every day you get someone from the culinary elite of the what is equivalent to the Academy Award, James Beard Award, chef on the show, and this is really awesome, chef. So what is cooking up here in the desert? We had Chef Hilson on last week, and I'm just so fascinated with the culinary scene in Arizona, and very fascinated with, you know, your career and how you got to where you got, Chef, because you're a regular on Fox 10 there in Arizona, and that's fantastic. You know, you're very well known, and it's awesome to have you on Grilliant Radio today with the Untamed Chef.
Well, again, it's a pleasure to be there. There's quite a bit going on here in Phoenix. There's a lot of new restaurants opening. It's summer now, so you can almost get a reservation anywhere, anytime you want. It's kind of a little warm here.
that's absolutely fantastic, Chef. So how are things going? You know, I was looking at some videos of you on from some of your past guest appearances on Fox 10, and it showed that you had recently went on a trip to Amsterdam. How was that, Chef?
Oh, that was great. That was, here, I'm trying to think, when that was like a year and a half ago. You know, I don't remember a lot about it.
Well, then that must have been one heck of a trip, right? I mean, if you don't remember any of it, that's
absolutely fantastic. It was fun. We just went to, you know, a lot of fun restaurants and stuff like that, and it's just a beautiful city to see. And I think after that we went to Paris, which is my favorite, one of my favorite cities.
It's definitely a chef's dream to always be in Paris or to cook in Paris at least once. And I know I'll definitely be there soon. I mean, I'm not too sure for what, but whatever the Lord wills, it's going to be done. So anyway, Chef, what I wanted to do was just, you know, I want to know your story. What inspired you to become this? And I mean this with all respect, and I don't say this a lot, Chef, but what inspired you to be the master that you are today? Because you're a good person. And I remember when I went into your restaurant some years back, and I was just visiting family. I was like, you know what? I'm just curious to see what's going on here in Arizona. And boy, did it just open my eyes to a whole new spectrum of real culinary talent. It's truly, and I want to say it's almost a hidden gem because it doesn't get enough credit, but there are some rock stars in the desert, you know, and I'm from Arizona. So you know what? I hope one day to be a part of your guys' elite because it's absolutely amazing.
Well, my career started simply by accident. My mom moved out here I moved out here with her when I was 12 years old from a very small town in the Midwest, and I didn't eat anything. Everything was plain, zero vegetables pretty much, no salads. If I had a hamburger, it was plain, nothing on it, no condiments, which is probably still pretty true today.
Oh, wow.
And then when I got out here, the next-door neighbors, you know, we didn't really have any money. My mom worked very, very hard. And but the next-door neighbors all race motocross. It was kind of like a motorcycle family. The dad worked at a Honda dealership, and the kids all race bikes, and I wanted a motorcycle, so I started working in fast food restaurants. I think I was a janitor. Then I finally got into a steakhouse, and at the age of 16, 3 years later, I bought my first dirt bike. And
oh, wow, that's absolutely amazing, Chef.
I think
the moral of the story is, if you want a dirt bike, you better be willing to do some really heavy-duty work then, right, to get it. That's amazing.
Well,
we
didn't have the money. She said, you know, if you want to get it, go out and get a job, and you can get I'll get the loan for you, but the first payment you miss, it's back to the shop. So I think I'm on, like, my 20th motocycle now. They're not motocross bikes. I do superbike every once in a while. And
that's amazing, Chef.
But I got into it by accident. So I was lucky enough that I was working as a cook, doing the grill when I was 16, 17, and then they opened up this fantastic hotel here that doesn't exist anymore. And it was mostly French chefs and the sous chefs and the pastry chef and so forth. And then when I got to see what they were doing, I was kind of working in the coffee shop, and I would go and help on the line of the French restaurant. And finally the chef came in one day and fired someone because he wasn't happy with him and put me in his position. And I really started to like that type of food. And then the hotel went Chapter 11, everyone dispersed to California, and then I moved out to California to work eventually ending up at the Century Plaza Hotel in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
And then from there, I was really, really enjoying what I was doing. Still not on track to where I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I just knew that you'd see a lot of other young people my age or little older, and I always looked at them as that they always wanted to just put that neckerchief on and the big hat and be the sous chef and bark out orders and not really knowing the jobs very well. And so I always stayed back and tried to learn as much as I could. And one day the corporate chef threatened me with two of his apprentices are coming back from Europe and they're going to take my job. And after 3 or 4 months, they couldn't take my job. And I asked the chef, hey, when's my turn? When do I get a connection or a hookup to Europe? And he goes, where do you want to go? And I go, well, I'll do London. And he goes, fine, I'll get you a connection there. I saved my money. I think I amassed $4,000, went over to London, hit his connection. And then they said, well, we really can't hire you. We were going to try, but we can't because we just can't get papers for you. And so they called a little French restaurant that they probably sent a lot of customers to, and the restaurant was probably, you know, really thankful for that, getting their business from the hotel. And they interviewed me, offered me almost nothing. I went in and worked for a day, and then the next day they said, oh, we're going to pay you twice as much now. We only offered you what we offered you because we didn't want to hire you, but you did a good job, so we're keeping you. So I was an illegal alien in London for about a year, and then I went to Paris for 2 years to work the same thing. And then back to L.A., and then back to Phoenix.
That's unbelievable, Chef. And you know what, Chef? What I admire so much about you, and for all my chef listeners tonight, and all these real foodies, Chef Christopher is one of the very few chefs who actually works on his line, and I think that's incredible, because I think to be a humble chef, you have to be a really good line cook, because you have to be willing to know, you know, when it's time to take charge of the kitchen and when it's literally time to get in the kitchen and take charge. And you're one of those chefs that I admire so much, Chef. When I had went in there, I had went with my family. I went to go visit family, and I stepped in there. And I remember you were there. I know you're probably the first one there. You're the last one to leave, which is, I admire the heck out of that. And you had told me, I had said, Chef, what is required to work for you? And you told me, well, you come and you do a stage, and if you can handle yourself, then you're hired. And I think it's incredible because, you know, it's funny. It's most, especially here, the stage rules are different here in California. You know, I think by law we're not allowed to do that. However, there's little loopholes.
Well, it's kind of like that here. I actually got hit once, and I tell all my other chef friends, don't use that word stage anymore. And he goes, well, what, you know, and some of my friends go, well, what do you mean? I go, Labor Department doesn't know what that is.
Yeah.
I said, you know, I got a hit one day, and I, you know, I let these guys come in. This one guy came in. I go, you know, he's just not going to make it. I just know it's not going to work. But I'm going to give the guy a chance because you never know. And, you know, it turns out, you know, he wasn't going to make it. And so I said, thank you. We're still looking. I still got a few more applicants. And then the guy calls up. He goes like, okay, so where's my money? And I go, for what? And I go, you're doing, you know, you're doing a tryout. And he goes, so he called the labor department, and the labor department calls me and goes like, well, he worked. And I go, no, he was trying out. And they go, well, he said he worked 5 hours. And I go, well, it was just to see if he liked us or we like him. And I tried to joke, and they don't joke too well. I said, we want to see if we can use a knife and not cut their fingers off before they start using, that they've learned to use a knife before they start using my workman's compensation pain for stitches.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
Stuff. And, so they said, no, you have to pay, like, whatever. It was, like, only $48, so it's not even worth, you know, arguing. And they said, okay, so it's $48, send a check, and what's his Social Security number? I said, I don't know. He wasn't an employee. He was just watching in the kitchen.
You
should have
said, I don't even know his last name.
So we did it. So I tell all my friends, like, maybe the next argument is, say, no, it's a tryout, audition, because, you know, newscasters go to audition. They don't get paid. Someone goes to the symphony to, you know, to audition to play the violin. I don't think they get paid. So if we do that,
I totally
audition.
Agree with you, Chef. I mean, we have every right to want to see what it is we're working with. I simply do it like this. Before I branched off and became a private chef, whenever anybody would come and cook it in, you know, want to cook in the kitchens I was cooking in, I would be, you know, make me an omelet. And I could tell right away what kind of caliber I was dealing with, you know. And after I saw the omelet, and then if they passed the omelet test, I said, okay, make me an over easy. I'd make, tell them, make me four eggs, the over easy, over medium, over hard, and the omelet. If you can make all those successfully,
that's a good test.
And you know what's funny, Jeff, is maybe 1 out of 20 was able to do it correctly. And with that being said, it just lets you know, and it's no disrespect to culinary school, but all our young culinarians need to understand as well that you need to be willing to train at home too. I mean, the reality is this, Chef, and I see a lot of your Facebook posts. I know that when you're not cooking a crush, you are at home cooking. So it's just like, you know, it's kind of like the same thing with me. You know, when I'm not cooking for my clients or doing something, I'm at home practicing. I'm getting better. I'm always figuring out ways to make my food better. And I think that's what makes a really good chef, because you're willing to work hard and you're willing to work around the clock. Most people buy into the fact that I'm going to chef school, and that drives me insane, because you're going to school to learn basic cooking. A chef is what you will become over the course of your life. And it's literally who you become. It's not a job title. I guess our job title is cook, but who we are as people are chefs. I'm always figuring out ways to beat the clock, and I know you definitely are too, Chef. You know, it's absolutely amazing, and your cuisine is really, really beautiful. I know you do a lot of wine dinners. How is that going, Chef?
It's fun. It's just a way to you know, introduce new customers. We kind of price it, I think, really good. We're probably a little less expensive than most of the wine dinners, because we're not looking at that venue to like make a lot of money. We're trying to attract always new customers, and it's also, that's a time when we, you know, we play around a little bit, because it's always something that's not on the menu, and so we'll work at doing the dinner and coming up with some new stuff, and then. If we really, really like it, and it's something that's, you know, we can put on the menu, we put that on the menu.
That's absolutely amazing right there, Chef. And I have to ask, and I think I know the answer to this already, but our audience doesn't. Charity events, charity work, I know you do a lot of that, Chef. Do you have anything special that's going on this year? I know Christmas is getting ready to come up here soon.
Well, the biggest one we do every year, and I'm quite happy with it. It was something years – actually, it's 23 years ago, I was part of an organization called the American Institute of Wine and Food that Julia Child and Robert Mondavi started, and there was chapters all over the U.S. And for one of the fundraising ideas I presented when I was going off the board, nobody really wanted to do it. at that point, and I was a little obsessed with, like, no, this is a good idea. It's a good fundraising idea. And so I presented it to it's the Liver Foundation. So maybe I'm just hedging for the amount of wine I drink. But they said, yeah, we like the concept. So every year we do a dinner, now for 23 years, and I think we're in approximately 22 cities now with this this charity event. And
oh, good for you.
I think there's one in L.A. It's called Flavors of – it would be called Flavors of L.A. If it's
okay,
there.
I have heard of that. I was wondering more what that was. Now I guess I know what it is.
So ours, of course, is Flavor of Phoenix, and there's Flavor of Tucson, there's Flavor of Houston. But what happens is, in Phoenix anyway, the host hotel, which is the Westin Kierland, puts out 34 tables of that will seat 12 people, and they put it kind of in a U shape. And you can bring your own chairs or you can bring your own tables, but you have 34 chefs doing a 5-to-6-course dinner for 12 people, and they cook it in front of them. They supply the wine. Each chef supplies the tableware, decoration of the table, glasses, so the charity doesn't have to pay a rental company. They don't have to pay to set up anything. The chefs come in and set up their station for 12 diners, and then the sponsors end up buying the tables for $10,000 to $20,000 if they want to choose the chef. Otherwise, you have no idea where you're going, and so you walk into a room with 34 tables set up, totally different. Some are like they build buildings around the tables, like little restaurants around the table. And
that's amazing.
So it's just super dinner, and that's our biggest one here. And we got one coming up for the James Beard Foundation at the Royal Palms Hotel, where we used to be. You said you had one.
Yeah.
For the James Beard Foundation coming up September 12th. And from your neck of the woods, Sherry Yard is coming out to be the guest chef, the former, I believe, corporate pastry chef of Spago's.
Yeah, Spago with Wolfgang. That's absolutely incredible. That's amazing. You know what's amazing, Chef, is especially like with like Facebook and all these different ways of social media, it allows us opportunities to be able to, you know, gain, you know, access to the minds of chefs. I mean, I get calls all the time, you know, and that's even what I'm going to talk about later on a little bit in the show, just different recipes and stuff. And it's really amazing, Chef. I know you're such a busy man, and you took time out of your day to be with us and to share this inspiration with us. So, Chef, if anybody wants to get a hold of you and they want to, you know, learn more about Crush and about what you're doing, can you fill us in on that?
Well, you just call the restaurant. It's Christopher's and Crush Lounge. Christopher's is our restaurant that seats about 110 people, has a patio, and you can dine around the kitchen. There's three sides, like a dining bar, so you watch us all work, and you can throw food at us if you don't like it or whatever.
And, I'm pretty sure they don't throw food at you.
And then on the other side, like when you come in the foyer, one way or the reception, one way is Christopher's, the other way is Crush, kind of a, you know, darker, kind of sexy lounge. And there's food in the lounge as well. And we just started something about a month and a half ago that really was inspiration from two trips, so over 2 years to Paris. There's just a restaurant over there that I really like, and they're doing such a great job. And I don't know how it is over in California, but I always used to think here in Phoenix, like tapas would really take off. You know, going in, have small plates and everything, but just
yeah.
Never seemed to launch here in Phoenix. But there's a restaurant in Paris called the Avant Comptoir, before the counter, that is in the left bank, just off Avenue Saint-Germain-des-Prés, and it's a little shoebox of a place, standing room only, three bodies deep, and has like 50 items of small plates. And they're anywhere from 6 to 10 euros, and it's like tapas, only it's French food. So you can get a little torchon of foie gras. You might get a mini croque monsieur or something like that. And
tell me where. Oh my goodness, that sounds amazing right now, Chef.
So we started something similar to do that in the lounge. We had probably like 10 things before, and so we just decided to expand that to, I think it was around 25 items now. And you can have it in both restaurants, and it's been going over pretty good. People get to have, like, design their own little mini tasting menu, and they can have up to 25 courses if they want.
You know what's funny, Chef, is that's how me and my wife, we enjoy eating, is tapas style. You know, we like to go and get small plates. That way I can try everything out that this chef has to offer me, and I can try it out in one seating. Instead of having just one plate or three courses, I'd rather, you know, try 10, 15 different items. And I personally enjoy doing that. So I just want to commend you to keep doing that, because I think tapas style, everybody, they right away want to go straight to, you know, Spanish style tapas, and that's not what we're doing here. You know, you're a master French chef. I think that's amazing that, you know, we can get this kind of delicacy at your restaurant and be able to try out. And I mean, I'll tell you what, the next time I'm in Arizona, Chef, I'm going to try every single thing out on your menu. I could promise you that. Me, yeah, my wife and I, it's only, we're not going to eat nothing. And I think we might be going over there in a couple of months for a wedding. So I'll have to let you know about that. But you know what, Chef, I just want to say thank you for coming on. You're an inspiration to me and to my career. And I know that everyone here listening on Grilling Ideas appreciates you coming on. It's always a real blessing to be able to get some serious, serious contenders in this culinary business. And without a doubt, you are one of two, I believe, in all of Arizona who has a James Beard Award, you and Chef Vincent, right?
Well, actually, Vincent and the last one was, don't confuse with you guys, is Nobu over there. Nobu from Teeter House got one in, like 4 years ago. Phoenix hasn't had any luck over the past 5 years or so getting someone in.
Texas is taking a lot of that. So, all right, you know what? Arizona's contending hard. I know they are. And Chef, I just want to say thank you for coming on the show tonight.
Oh, my pleasure.
And, yeah, please, you know what? Please keep doing what you're doing. It's inspiring dining in a whole different level. We want to stay away from all this artificial dining and keep going with fresh, farm-to-table, amazing cuisine, and that's what you bring. Everybody, it has been a true pleasure to have Chef Christopher on with us. And if you want to get a hold of him, is there a website, Chef, at all?
There's christophersaz.com, or just go to Christopher's and Crush Lounge on Facebook. There's all that information, or Christopher Gross on Facebook, or Christopher's at 602-522-2344.
Rock stars from the desert, Chef Christopher Gross, thank you so much. Have a
fantastic
evening, and I will see you soon. I can promise you that, my friend.
Okay,
thank you.
Forward to seeing you. Take care.
All righty. Bye now.
Thank you.
It sure is amazing when we could get some just fantastic talent on like that. This man he's an inspiration to me. Every time I see his post on Facebook, and everybody could follow him, you can follow Chef Christopher Gross. If not, go to my page, follow it off of my friends list. He's an amazing guy. He's never too busy to be able to lend a hand, to be able to give some of his knowledge. And that's the kind of chefs that we want to try to really inspire to be. All righty, everybody. So we are getting these sponsors slowly but surely. We still got quite a ways to go, but you know what? If it's willed to be done, then it will be done, and the show is going to go on. If not, I'll be rocking with you guys on the radio for a lot longer. anyways, I want to say thank you, first of all, to Grilliant. Always a pleasure, my friend. It really is. And to our amazing host, to myself, but then to our wonderful guests. Christopher, he's an absolutely amazing guy. And okay, so here's what we have. We have still a little bit of time left. I had a fan request, and somebody wanted to know, Chef Albert, I am trying to make a bolognese sauce. What is the proper way to do this? And is there an easy way to do this with turkey? Oh my goodness. Okay, so here we go. First of all, turkey's very lean. So what we're going to have to do is make sure we're going to have our spices, salt and pepper. We don't have to jazz this up with a whole bunch of different things, everybody. What we're going to do is get the turkey in a medium, we're going to do it about a medium pan. Let's say about 4 ounces of turkey. This is enough. This is a yield for about 4 people, and it's a lighter portion. We want to eat healthy here. So what we're going to do is we're going to get the turkey. We're going to put it in our pan lightly with a little bit of – I use canola and vegetable oil 50-50 mix. I do not use olive oil because when we take olive oil past a certain temperature, it becomes rancid and it just starts to burn everything. We don't want that. We put that in the pan. We get that going. We throw in a little bit of shallots. We're going to throw in a little bit of red bell peppers, dice them up really small, and our shallots, we're going to dice them up really small as well. A little bit of fresh garlic that I like to grate right over the top with a microplane or a grater, whatever you have works, directly into the pan. We're going to put in there some roasted tomatoes. You could buy these canned or you can roast them yourself. It's easier to buy them canned if you're doing this recipe for the first time. And then we're going to do a can of tomato sauce. Now, when we mix these all together, we want to make sure we don't want the meat to get crispy. We don't want it to get any brown on it at all. We want this to be a nice light sauce. I'm going to throw in some really small sliced oyster mushrooms. After we mix this around just a little bit, I want to hit with a little bit of sugar. Now, everybody has different preferences on sugar. My preference with sugar is I want it to be sweet, but I don't want to be like candy. We're not trying to eat candy. We're eating savory here. So what we do is hit it with some sugar. We're going to mix that around. Once we hit it with sugar, we want to taste. If the taste is good, then we're in a good spot. If it has, if it's not sweet enough, it's supposed to be a little bit sweet because we have to counterbalance the acid from the tomatoes. So we're going to use the sugar to do this. By adding a little bit of sugar to tomato, what it does is it takes that tomato-y, very acidic flavor away, and it gives us this amazing, luscious tomato flavor when it balances with sugar because that acid goes really well. I hit with a little squirt of half a lemon juice, half a cup of red wine. I bring that down to a medium heat. We'll let that simmer down all the way. And what we want to do after that is I let it sit just for a little while because I want to taste how this sauce is going to be before I go and I just start putting it on people's plates. So what I like to do is I'll caramelize some onions in a separate pan. I'll mix that together because, let's face it, caramelized onions, rock star status, why not, right? We put those onions in. We're going to mix that all together, and now the natural sugars in those onions is going to start to come out a little bit, and it's going to give us a really, really beautiful bolognese flavor that we're looking for. I bring this heat up back to about a medium heat. If you're cooking on a on one of those ridiculous plates. I don't know how people could cook on those, you guys, but if you are, put it on low because we do not want to burn this product. We want this to be a nice flavor, and we want to have a little tiny bit of that wine in there. I don't want it to be overkilled and we lose the wine flavor because it's fantastic with what we're doing here. And so what I do now is I just bring it up a little bit, taste it. If the flavor's right, just be safe. We're going to add just a little bit more salt and pepper. And do this to taste. Everybody has different preferences, but remember, we can taste our salt. We've oversalted. If it's too spicy, we've overpeppered. So we're always just trying to look for that balance of the salt and pepper to make this dish absolutely amazing. And it's absolutely fantastic. Please, if you want more information on it, Facebook me. You can first email me, www.ajhtheuntamedchef.com, and there's a link right there to go straight to my page. We're still looking for sponsors. We're looking for all kinds of different professionals, people who really want to market this brand of what we're trying to do here. Our target's 105 million people a week. Plus, we'll be talking about the sponsors that we have also on the radio show. I want to say a special thanks to my sponsors, Jeff Selzer and Steve Dillard from Selzer and Dillard's Funeral Chapel here in the Valley. If you ever need to be buried, they're the guys to call. And I know it sounds funny, but I told them I'd plug them in every time. And also to T. Roxel's Bistro Blends, amazing olive oils, vinegars. This stuff is absolutely amazing, and I'll be using more of this stuff as I cook and do more recipes here. And if you have a certain recipe you're interested in and you really want to know about, something as simple as a sauce bolognese, most people, they look at it and they think it's difficult, but it really isn't. But you guys are rock stars. Thank you so much. It's been a blast. Signing off, I'm Chef Albert Hernandez. You can call me the Untamed Chef. Goodbye now. We'll be right back.
when you thought radio was safe. A new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.